The Mishnah on Sadi Vav Min Aleph tells us Machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. If you're Zorek, Mershiyachet to Shesiyachet versus Rab Emtsa. So the Chachamim hold that you're Potter, and Rabbi Akiva holds your Chayiv. So the Gemara in Daftalid quotes this Mishnah, and the Gemara says it depends on whether you hold Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamya or not. Rabbi Akiva holds your Chayiv because of Kluta. It's as if the Chayfetz had a Hanacha inside the Rosh Hashanah and Be'emtza, and the Chacham who holds that there is no Kluta, so then you went straight from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah, and the Meir of the Chacham are going to hold you're not Chayiv L'Inyan Shabbos. So the fundamental question here is this Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim a Machlokas in Hilchos Shabbos regarding the criteria for a Maisa Hotza Shel Shabbos, the Malacha of Hotza, and there they argue Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadami or not, or is Kluta really a discussion of Kol HaTorah Kula? And the Mishnah on Tzadi Vav is simply an application to Hilchos Shabbos. So the first source that we have that seems to weigh in on this question is the Gemara in Zvachim on Tzadi Gimel Amid Aleph. The Gemara there quotes the Mishnah in Para and Perek Yod Mishnah Hey. So the Gemara has a machlokas also between, I think, Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim about if you pass the Mechatas over Tanur Hatame, a Tanur Sheish Bosharetz. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Rabbi Lazar B'shita Rabbi Akiva Rabba Amra, the Amar Havaras Kli Al Gabe Mokom Tame Kemunach Tame. This Machlokas is about whether Havaras Kli Al Gabe Mokom Tame is Kemunach, and that sounds a lot like Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamya. So the Gemara ends up saying that no, can't be that they're arguing about Kluta, because Mode Rabbi Akiva Behaza, Shehevir Al Gabe Kli Cheres Tame Al Gabe Mishka Vamoshav Tame Shehitahora. The Gemara says it can't be that they're arguing about Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamya because Rabbi Akiva agrees in a case where the Hazah passes over a Tanur Hatame. So while they argue about a case where the Kli with the Meipara is in the guy's hands and it passes over the Tanur, everybody agrees in a case where the Hazah is in the air and it's about to hit the person who's Tame, so everybody agrees that that's Tahar. So you can't hold it's Kluta, because had it been Kluta, then you should have been Chayiv, it should have been Tameh even when the Hazah is in the air. That's the argument of the Gemara. So the Gemara ends up saying that they argue about a Machlokas whether you're Gozer Shema Yonuach or Logaz Rinan Shema Yonuach. The question is not about Kluta, it's a question of whether you're Gozer that he'll put it down. So when it's in his hand and there's a Chashash, so then you'll say it's Tameh, you'll project that he might put it down. When the Hazah is in the air and it's already out of his hand, there's no Chashash, Shema, he might put it down, it's already too late. That's the Gemara in Zvachim. So it seems that Lemaskana, Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamya doesn't apply to Tuma and Tara. It's only a din in Hilchos Shabbos. The problem is that the Rambam in Perek Mishnayis in Para, in Perek Hei Mishnah Yun, the Rambam says that the Machlokes here depends on Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamya. Doesn't that defy the Maskana of the Gemara in Zvachim? And if you look at the other Rishonim on the Mishnah, the Rash Mishans, for example, the Rush and his parish to the Mishnah in Para, so they all paskin that it's a gzera of Shem Yanuach. And they point to the Maskan of the Gemara that rejects Kluta. The only exception is the Bar Tanura, who also follows the Rambam. And he paskins also that it's a Machlokas in Kluta. And Tosfos Yom Tov asks, he said, how could he paskin like the Rambam when it's against the Mefurish Gemara in Zvachim Tzadi Gimel? So how do you explain the Shitas Rambam here? So the Tosefta, which the Gemara actually quotes, if you look at the Tosefta doesn't give the explanation that the Gemara gives. Tosefta in Perek Yud of Maseches Para, Halacha Gimel. Yehuda, you saw the Tosefta? No? What? Never too late. So the Tosefta actually quotes the distinction of the Gemara, and it says that Rabbi Akiva is Moda in a case of Hazah, where the Mechatas is already in the air. But the Tosefta doesn't give the explanation of the Gemara that it's Midin Gazrinan Shem Yanuach. So the Gra in his beer to the Tosefta says that it's a fundamental distinction. You only could apply Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamya when it's possible that this thing will be Nach. So Kol Zman that is in his hand and there's the possibility that he'll put it down, then fundamentally Kluta is applicable. But if the Hazah is already in the air and its projected motion is to pass over the Tanur, so then you can't say Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamya, because there's no way to project it landing on the Davar HaTameh. So what happens is that you'll say that according to this gra, that the Rambam is passing like the Tosefta against the way the Gemara explains the Machlokas in the Mishnah, and then you'll only apply Kluta Kamisha Huncha Damya when it's possible that the Chepetz will actually be Nach on the Davar HaTameh.
Interesting, because then it's kind of like, in a way it's like opposite the whole Tehillah between Rebbe, between Shabbos and Erev. When you're holding the scroll, so you could just drop it. We don't say Kluta there, but we do say Kluta when it's already in there.
Yeah, this would be the exact contrary to many things. It would be also directly contrary to Tosa's distinction on the Avdalid. Because here you're assuming that you're only going to say Kluta when it's Biyado. When the Hazah is traveling in the airspace, then Yidavka wouldn't say Kluta.
Yeah. And
right?
He may just feel it between the object over the object, under the object.
Maybe. Yeah.
The fact that at some point it will be Nach, even though it will be Nach in that location, that isn't enough of a...
No, it's not enough to say that it's Nach on the Makom HaTameh.
It just should be the fact that at some point it will be Nach at every step of the way, it is not considered like it's Nach.
No, he doesn't want to say that. So, whereas the Bavli rejects Kluta Kamisha Huncha Damya altogether for the Sugya and Sadi Gimel, the Tosefta with the Gra and the Rambam seem to pass on that even the Maskana Kluta is applicable outside of Hilchos Shabbos. It applies to this case of Parah Aduma. But now the question is that application in Zvachim and Sadi Gimel a din in all of Tuma and Tara, or is this a din miyuchad, a special halacha in Hilchos Parah Aduma and Mechatas? So Rashi already on the Gemara on Zvachim Tzadi Gimel seems to say this is a din miyuchad in Hilchos Parah Aduma. Rashi diber maschil v'natal as halogin shel mechatas v'maseches parah taninan la umala hi l'mechatas. This is a special maila for mechatas. Normally a davar hatameh that flies over a davar hatahar would not have a din kluta, but specifically for mechatas we're going to say that it does have a din kluta. So why would you say that? So here's what we mentioned in Shir very nicely. And it's also, if you look back in the Perusha Mishnayos of the Rashi Mishans and the Rambam, two Mishnayos earlier, in Parah and Parah Giyod, Parah Giyod Mishnah Gimel, I think. So there, Yakshe Machlukas there, whether a Kalal Shel Chata Shenaga B'Sheretz Tahar, Nasno Agaba V'Rebelezer Mitar V'Chacham Mitamim. Let's say you have the Mechatas inside a Klicheres. And then you put the kli cheres, if you touch the kli cheres to a sheret, everybody agrees it's tahar, because a kli cheres is not metamei migabo, right? So the mechatas never became tamei. But now you have machlokes tanayim. What happens if you put the kli cheres on top of the sheret? So there's no tumas maga, because the kli cheres is not metamei migabo, but it's considered in a makom tamei, on a makom tamei, because on top of a sheret, which is tamei, even though there's no tumas maga. There's no tumas oil, there's no tumas maga. But there's a special halacha, and this is the debate in the Mishnah, there's a special halacha in Hilchos Mechatas that it can't be on the place of a Davar HaTameh.
That wouldn't just be like Tumas Nasa?
What?
Wouldn't it be
Tumas Nasa? No. That's what both the Rambam and the Rashi Mishan say in Mishnah Gimel. Read the Rambam. Ma she'amarnu she'im hiniach es ha'kli hazeh al gabe sheretz, nitma ha'efer, Hu al pi ha'yisod she'evar lecha v'hu kiyamar Hashem be'efer hapara v'hinicho michutz l'machane b'makom tahar. Omrim chachamim she'im nimtza ha'efer atzmo al gabe davar tameh ein zeh makom tahar. Right, so it's like a special din in makom tahar, and the Rashi Mishan says the same thing. So now you would say that this application of Kluta Kamisha Huncha Damya in the Gemara in Zvachim is not a din in Tuma and Tahara in general. It's a special question with respect to whether the Mechatas is considered in a makom tameh. But no one would ever project Kluta in Hilchos Tuma and Tahara to say that it's Ke'ilu, it's Naga B'davar HaTameh. Because Negiyah is not a relevant application for the Mechatas.
I thought
Moskva
were saying that only very few of the Rambam projected Kluta anyway.
Rambam is very few Rishonim?
He is very few Rishonim.
He's one Rishon.
And we also mentioned
Rashi Mishans. Rashi Mishans disagrees.
Oh.
The Bartanura.
Bartanura.
He's questionable Rishon, borderline. Borderline Rishon. Right, but
so
they want to apply Kluta.
This analysis is only within the Rambam? That's what I'm asking.
Yeah. Okay. It'll be within the Havmin of the Gemara and Zvachim and the Maskana within the Rambam. What?
He's older than Beis Yosef.
Anybody older than Beis Yosef is a Rishon? What about all the Gonim?
Ah, so you think the Bartanura.
No, he's Borderline. I think he's like 14th, 15th century. No? Okay. So that's the application of the Gemara in Zvachim and Daf Tzadi Gimel. The Gemara in Ginnon Ayin Tesamid Aleph has another application of Kluta Kamisha Huncha Damya. There the Gemara talks about a case of somebody who's standing al gago, the husband standing on the roof of his home, and he's throwing the get to his wife who's in the chatzar. So we want the chatzar to be kona for the wife. So the Gemara says that it depends if you have mechitzos hatachtonos otfos al yonos. Do the mechitzos of the chatzar, are they actually taller than the roof of the gag? So the Gemara says, doesn't this depend on kluta kamisha hun chadam yav hilchos Shabbos? Right, the havamina being that if you hold kluta, then you'll say that she's divorced the moment it comes into the avir of the chatzar. And if you don't hold kluta, then she wouldn't be divorced until it lands. So the Gemara says no, because machlokas Rabbi Akiva and the chacham is only with respect to hilchos Shabbos. When it comes to gittin, everybody agrees. Why? Because for gittin in turehu v'haka mintar, all you need is that the chatzar is watched, it's guarded. Netira. Netira means watched. Tamir chachamim lo beina netirusa, or neture karta, the guardians of the place. Yeah. What? Yeah, not Rahmanu Parke. Very good. Guardians of the Torah. So the Gemara here says all you need is it to be a chatzar hanishmar, and therefore everybody's going to agree that you're going to apply some form of kluta to this case. Now, what does the Gemara mean? Does the Gemara mean now that this kind of is the contrary of what we saw in the Gemara in Zvachim? So the Gemara in Zvachim were saying that you're only going to apply kluta in Hilchos Shabbos, not for Tumah and Tahara. Here we seem to be saying that everybody's going to agree to the case of Gittin that you don't need a special halacha of kluta, because, or you don't need a special din of Shabbos, because you always are going to have avir and mechitzos to be kona.
Where did you get Rabbi Akiva from?
What?
Where did you get Rabbi Akiva from?
Ah, for the Gemara in Gittin?
Yeah, you said Rabbi Akiva
from the Ritva Chidushim Miksav Yad.
It doesn't say that. No,
it does. It says Yesh Garsim in the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva.
There's like one gears out of like 10, and every other Rishon has Rabbi.
Okay, so you could have Rebbe in
the Rishon. Has the parallel circuit, it's explicitly Rebbe.
Okay.
It's the same circuit.
Good. Good.
Avir Mechitza Kamamasha. In Yerushalmi, it's Avir Mechitza Kamamasha. It's not even included to begin with.
Oh, you don't think that's meaning Kluta?
I don't think it's Kluta. I think it's Kamam Damali Dami, and they're calling it Kluta in this case.
Fair enough. So you have Rebbe in the Gemara in Gittin. So the question is, Is the Gemara operating within the din of Kluta or not? So the Yishalmi actually poses a suggestion to Machalik. Yishalmi asks, Ma ben Shabbos legitin? So the Gemara says, B'Shabbos ksiv lo sase kol melacha, hacha nasis hime eleha. B'ram hacha v'nasan b'yada b'rshusa. Very cryptic line in the Yishalmi. For Shabbos, you need lo sase kol melacha, and here it was done by itself. However, for Hilchos Gittin, all you need is Vinasan Biyada Birshusa. But what's ambiguous in Yishalmi is which is the rule and which is the exception. Is it that for Shabbos you need a Maisa, and here with Kluta you don't have a Maisa? Or is the idea that for Gittin you don't even need a Kinyan? For Gittin, all you need is for the Chefetz to be in her Rishus. Vinasan Biyada could be the source that you don't need an actual Haknas, I get. All you need is an Asinas, I get. So it's not clear in the Yishalmi which one is the rule and which is the exception. So the Ritva in Chidushim Miksav Yad says, takes a stance on, not in reading the Yishalmi, but in explaining the Gemara, and he says the only reason why the Chachamim say that Kluta is Potter, that Kluta doesn't work like Inyan Shabbos, is because Shabbos needs Melechus Mach Shabbos. And Kluta is not sufficient for Melechus Mach Shabbos. But in Kol Tara Kula, where you have no special din of Melechus Mach Shabbos, so everybody's going to agree, Kluta Kamisha Hun Chedamya. That's the argument of the Ritva and the Chidushim Miksav Yad. We suggested in Shir the exact opposite. We suggested that maybe you would say that it's a special din in Hilchos Gittin. Even if in Kol HaTorah Kula you don't say Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamya, in Gittin where you don't need a Kinyan, so then you can say the moment it's in her Rishos, she's going to be Kona. The Gemara in Bava Kamma also raises this question of Kluta. That's a case of Hilchos Shabbos. So the Gemara there wants to know, you throw something into someone's chatzer, and you say the moment it reaches your chatzer, tikni li gnevascha. I want to be kone the gneva. So you have the gneva and the chila for shiyos of Shabbos baim ka'achas. So the Gemara says, that must be according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds Kluta k'misha hun chadamya. Because the only way you could have kimle b'jab mineh is if the Geneva and the violation of Shabbos happen ka'achas, according to the Chachamim, who don't hold the Kluta. So the Chi of Geneva only comes when it hits the floor. So Tosfos there points out that it's not actually true, even if you do hold Kluta, that the violation of Shabbos and the violation of Gneva are buying Ka'achas. Why? Because in order for the Chatzer to be Kone, argues Tosfos, you need the Chefetz to ba into the Avir HaMechitzos. It has to come within the height of the walls. But for Hilchos Shabbos, you don't need the Chefetz to come within the height of the walls. All you need is for the Chefetz to be in the airspace of the Rishus. That's Tosos' question. So he gives a new Kimta. But what you see clearly from Tosos is that he holds that the din of Kluta L'Inyan Shabbos, even if you hold it, is actually distinct from the din of Avir Mechitzos L'Inyan Kinyanim. And that's why they go into effect at different times.
Isn't that obvious from the fact that there's a requirement of Mechitzos?
What?
From the fact that there is, there is a requirement of Mechitzos.
No, because the Gemara there says, like you just said, is that's only Libud the Rebbe, and Rebbe might hold it, you need Mechitzos in order to trigger Kluta. Which means that the Gemara is operating within the regular din of, the Gemara thinks it's operating within the regular din of Kluta. And yet you find that the din for Kinyanim is different from the din of Shabbos. Right? Now, so that would be one important nafkamina. For Kinyanim, it's not about falling into the airspace of the... Sorry, for Kinyanim, it is about being in the airspace of the Mechitzos. For Shabbos, it's a din of being in the airspace of the Rishos HaYochid, which is Ola, even above the Mechitzos. You might have another nafkamina between Shabbos and Kinyanim, and that's the question of Avir She Sofo Lanuach. When it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, it's clear that you're applying Kluta even for cases where the Chefetz isn't going to be Nach in the actual Rishus. The classic case is Zarak Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid, and Rishus HaRabim BeEmtza. So even though the Chefetz won't be Nach in the interim Rishus, you're applying Kluta. The way Rashi reads the Gemara in Gittin, and I think the way he reads the Gemara in Bava Kamma, is that the only reason why the Chatzar will be Kone is because of Avir Shesofa Lanuach. So now you have a second distinction between Kluta of Hilchos Shabbos, which doesn't require Avir Shesofa Lanuach, and the din of Kluta for Kinyanim, where you would require Avir Shesofa Lanuach. At least from Rashi's reading of the Gemara in Gittin and the Gemara in Bava Kamma.
Where do we see
the
din of Kluta for Kinyanim?
What?
Where do we see the din of Kluta for Kinyanim?
The Gemara in Gittin and the Gemara in Bava Kamma.
And where's the Gemara in Bava Kamma establishing
the Gemara says you'll be Kone walk once it falls into the Avir
Mechitzos. So meaning when you say that, so when the Gemara says that the Rebbe and Abraham are arguing about Kluta, it means they're arguing about Kluta and Shabbos, but they agree with that Kluta and Kinyan.
Right.
It might be a weird way of forming them.
Why?
And you expect the Gemara to elaborate on that, not just say everyone agrees that you are Kone right away, and the question is whether you're tired of Shabbos.
Why? I mean, we know there's machlokas when it comes to Kinyan Chatzer. That's the suffix of Rava and Bamitzia. Avir Shesofa Lanuach or not? I don't think Avir Shesofa Lanuach. Why does Rashi invoke it then in Bava Kamma?
I mean, that might be why you're fired right away for Kinyan.
You just told me it's a Din and Gittin. Why does Rashi invoke it in
Bava Kamma? It could be a suffix for Gittin, but Sofa Lanuach is enough for Kinyan.
Right, but you need Avir Shesofa Lanuach. That's what allows you to be Kone in the Avir.
Okay, maybe. But that specifically has nothing to do with Kluta.
I don't know what you mean by Kluta. I'm saying that there's a din that we treat a chefetz in the airspace as being Nach L'Inyan Shabbos. And there's a parallel halacha in Kol Tar Kula. I'm saying you find two distinctions. One distinction based off Avir Mechitzos versus not Avir Mechitzos. A second distinction whether or not you need Avir Shesofa
Lanuach. Okay, and a third distinction of whether you have a din of Kluta, whether it's considered
Nach. To me, that's a meaningless statement. You're just assuming that the category of Kluta L'Inyan Shabbos is not applicable to Kol Tar Kula. So you're assuming the answer to the question before we even pose it.
I'm not 100% assuming that. I'm just assuming that Gemara says that everyone agrees that you're Kone right away, and the question is for Shabbos based on Kluta, that the Gemara is not assuming that the question is Kone right away. So I'm not sure if I'm assuming
that. Gemara says, what's the day... The Gemara says maybe our Gemara is only Libud Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says our Gemara is only Libud Rabbi Akiva. Damar Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamia. So how do you want to read the Gemara?
Well, say that the thing of Kenyan is specifically about Kenyan classic. That's not, that doesn't have to include the condition.
Well, the Gemara wants to suggest maybe it's according to Rabbi Akiva.
What's according to Rabbi Akiva?
That the Avir Mechitzos are Kona.
No, that's not the case. Everyone agrees your Avir Mechitzos are Kona. And the question is, when are you Chayav Shabbos? That's what the Gemara asked.
Right.
We're not talking about Birch Kimlai.
Right.
If
and Rashi says, why does everybody agree? Because Avish is Sofla Nuach Kimunach Dami.
Right. That's why everyone agrees.
So what's that din of Avish Sofla Nuach based on?
A din in Kimyon, I don't know.
So you don't think that's related at all to Kluta?
No.
That's what you want to say. And the Havmin of the Gemara in Gittin? Who can't let it around? Right, so aren't you assuming that the category of Kluta is sui generis to Hilchos Shabbos?
No, I'm just assuming it doesn't apply to Kinyan.
Aha. Uh-huh. Even though the Gemara opposes it le'inyan Gittin?
Yeah.
How do you read that Gemara?
Well,
so you're very caught up on the term Kluta.
Where does the Gemara apply Kluta for Kinyan and Kinyan?
Gemara says maybe it's only according to Rabbi Akiva. Rashi says. Rashi explains the whole reason why you need Mechitzos HaTachtonos Otzfos HaAlyonos is because of Avir Shesofa Lenuach in Gittin.
Isn't that before? Isn't that after you said it's not Gittin?
No. The Gemara makes the Ukimta first.
And then it rejects that. It says Amar Li'Avu
Lu'ula. The Gemara assumes you need Mechitzos HaTachtonos Otzfos HaAlyonos. Let's mind the Palig.
You don't think the Gemara is going back on that assumption when it says it's like, I mean, it's like Rabbi Google's Kluta?
I'm saying the Gemara suggested that Kluta will apply to Gittin.
Okay.
You're assuming that the term Kluta is a unique halacha to Hilchos Shabbos. You're saying the term Kluta is not relevant to Kinyanim. I'm saying the Gemara in Gittin now rejects the application of Kluta to Kinyanim for whatever reason, either Yushalmi, or as we're suggesting, it's a Din Miyuchad in Gittin. But it's clear the Gemara assumes that the category of Kluta Kamisha Huncha Dami is not a din in Hilchos Shabbos. So now I'm asking, when you have a din of Avir Shesofa Lenuach, how does that work?
Yeah, I'm just not sure if Avir Shesofa Lenuach is a din in Kluta or not.
So how do you read Rashi and Gittin?
Rashi just says that's why
you need Mechitzos HaTachtonos Otzfos HaAlyonos. That's the mechanism through which it's working. The Gemara said that's only a Liba Derbi Akiva. Yid Rashi v'halo mintar. This is the Gemara's initial question. Before the Gemara suggests that any chilukim. So the Gemara says v'halo mintar. So the Gemara says no, you have mechitzos. So you need sofa lenuach. The Gemara says maybe that's against the chacham who don't hold of kluta.
Why is that a problem?
Because Rashi just told you that the mechanism through which the Gemara is working is avir shesofa lenuach. No, it doesn't. The Gemara is not. The Gemara says, Lema, this whole discussion is Shelo Kichachamim.
Right. So the question would be, do you need Kuta for Gittin or just need Ture?
No. The Gemara gave you an Ukimta. The Gemara says that Ukimta is against the Chachamim. Correct?
No, the Gemara says the case is against the Chachamim.
That's what an Ukimta is. An Ukimta is a case.
I mean, that's the thing that you're
Why is the din of Kinyanim against the din of Kluta?
Maybe the din of Get.
You just told me that it's the same halacha.
Maybe the din of Get is against the din of Kluta. Or is it requiring the din of Kluta?
Of course it's against Kluta. Kluta is a din in Hilchos Shabbos, according to you.
I still haven't said a din in Shabbos. You said it many times and I haven't said that.
So you think when Rashi invokes Avir Shesofa Lenuach, it's not related to the same Sofa Lenuach which he quotes in Bava Kama Linyan Kinyanim? You think Rashi invokes Avir Sofa Lenuach as a din miyuchad in Gittin and as a din miyuchad in Kinyanim?
Yeah, very likely. I mean, unless there's a din of Mintar for Kinyanim.
Why? Well, maybe Rashi's reducing the whole discussion in Gittin to a din of kinyanim when he says mintar.
Maybe, but why would you say that?
Because Rashi invokes the halacha of Ein Sofa Lanuach, which doesn't appear in the Gemara.
Okay, but then the Gemara brings in Kluta, right? So why can't...
No, the Gemara doesn't bring in Kluta as a new consideration. The Gemara invokes Kluta as being the rationale for what Yukimta just gave.
No, why does that be for the rationale? Just say, why can't it just be a separate thing that, in addition to not being mintar, you also needed to be Kluta in order to be corner, in order for the woman to get to get right away?
So Avir Shein Sofa Lanuach wouldn't be sufficient now.
Okay.
Lenin Gittin. Why not?
Not even us on the other, I guess.
I don't know. I don't hear it. Okay. Third nafkamina would be something that the Rambam discusses, and the Rishonim get very upset at the Rambam. Let's say you could invoke Avir Shein Sofa Lanuach, but what happens in the end of the day is that it's not nach. So all the Rishonim say, the moment you invoke Avir Shein Sofa Lanuach, so of course you're going to have a hanacha. What happens afterwards, if the wind now blows it out of the Avir Mechitzos, that's immaterial. Because the whole point is that Avir Shein Sofa Lanuach creates it as if it's in the Rishus right now. But the Rambam thinks that you could say, Avir Shein Sofa Lanuach, as simply a projection of what actually is going to happen. And if that doesn't happen, then you can't say that she was Megureshes. So you never say the same thing for Kluta. I mean, according to the Rambam, the whole point of the Gemara in Gittin is to move the time of the Gerushin from the Hanacha to it being in the Avir HaMechitzos. That's all the Gemara is trying to do. But with respect to Kluta Linya and Shabbos, no one thinks that it's just a question of moving up the time. The point is that you're chayiv the moment it's in the airspace. Yeah.
So what's your status in between when it's...
That's what the Rishonim all ask. You can't be Megureshes and then not Megureshes. That's how they all attack the Rambam. That's the Rambam's question. What?
Oh,
very good.
No, exactly what it is.
You mean that? You mean that in a chronological way or in a conceptual way?
Conceptual.
Okay.
And then
no, the Rambam means in a chronological way, meaning you actually are Migureshes, and then you're not Migureshes. The Gemara uses it to say that you're like kind of a.
Right, I know. Sometimes you could say that you are.
That status.
State.
No, the Rambam means that you're not Megureshes
Legamri.
Yeah, if it blows out.
In the middle, you're Megureshes and Megureshes, and then in the end, it turns out that then you can just, in the end, you go back to being not Megureshes at all. Meaning, by saying that in the middle.
Right, you'll say, right. He'll just say that, Lamafreya, nothing happened in between. Hanachanami. That's how he would answer. But then what were the other Rishonim bothered by? The Rishonim were really troubled by the Rambam's position that you can be Megureshes and then not be Megureshes. So clearly they, right. Now they talk about that case. Pashta Yada Vekidva Kedushin Meacher in the middle. That's the case. Alright. So those are the cases outside of Hilchos Shabbos. But now we turn to ask, what's the nature of Kluta itself? So the Yushalmi in Gittin seems to characterize, and the Yushalmi in Shabbos also, when it talks about Ben Azai, seems to characterize the din of Kluta as Avir HaMechitzos Kimamashan. That you view the entire space between the Mechitzos as if they're filled. Right, so the Chifetz is Nach in this airspace. So that seems to come very close to the din that we have in the Gemara, of Beis HaKamad Demal Yadami of Rebbe. That the rationale behind Kluta is simply a stronger form of Beis HaKamad Demal Yadami. Now, in the Bavli, it certainly doesn't seem that way, because the whole assumption of the Gemara in Daf Dalid is that with respect to Kluta, even though it's a Hanacha, it's not going to be considered a Hanacha al-Gabe Mokom Dalid al-Dalid, but it seems from the Gemara that for Beis HaKamad Demal Yadami, it is going to be considered a Hanacha al-Gabe Mokom Dalid al-Dalid. So it's hard to say that the Bavli is also operating with that assumption that it's Avir HaMechitzos Kimamashan. Tosos has two deos. Whether Rebbe, who has, let's say, an artificial kluta of Beis HaKamad Demal Yadami, whether he would also hold Beis HaKamad Demal Yadami for Avir Mechitzos without a gag. Okay, so how easy is it to construct this kind of quasi kluta where you view the entire Rishus as being Mali Chafatim? Yeah.
Why are we so sure that the Bavli doesn't think of Yerushalmi?
Because the Bavli seems to say that it's not going to be considered a Mokom Agabi Dalad Al Dalad.
Can you read that line also saying that, like, you don't physically need
Dalit? For Kluta?
For
But you don't physically have dalad al dalad even for avir machitzas kama mashan.
Right.
So that seems you can hold if you want to say that kluta is basic mad al yadami, and say that basic mad al yadami is dalad al dalad, and say that kluta itself is not dalad al dalad. That kluta itself is not dalad al dalad. Then you could run into trouble. No, the Gemara says kluta is not dalad al dalad. The Gemara says basic command al yadami is dalad al dalad. The Yushalmi speaks of kluta in terms of basic command al yadami, as does seemingly the Gemara in Gin. Because the Gemara says lema Rabbi Akiva, who doesn't need akir me'agabe makam dalad al dalad.
Right. Can you read that as saying that he doesn't need
it
physically from dalad al dalad?
Mm-hmm. It's hard to say that though, because the whole assumption of the Gemara is that
like,
right. You could say once the Gemara comes around the Maskana and says that Yad Roshladam is Chashuvale Kedalad Al Dalad, and you could have all these Chashuvales, so you might say that Kluta itself is a Chashuvale. You might say it at the Maskana. I don't know, unless you have good reason to say it. I don't know if you would say it. Yeah.
Why? I was just a little confused. Why did we say for basic command Maya that if it was Dalad Al Dalad?
It's one read of the Shaka Vitaria.
Right. I mean, you could easily read it just like basic command of Maya, that means it's also not Dalad.
You could. It's a little trickier. It could be that the Gemara is just being Doche Rebbe Shita for an application to the Mishnah because
right.
You can't have Shizra Makura. You could view it that way also, in a Hanami. You equally could read the Shaka Vitaria as saying that basic command of Maya Dami would have sufficed as Dalad al Dalad. But then the Gemara rejects that. Then the Gemara rejects that because the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim case.
Yeah, but why would it be there more than it is? It's clear the Gemara is only trying to resolve the Mishnah. It's clear that that's its intention and its goal, isn't it?
Right, but why would the Gemara, once the Gemara just rejected Kluta as not being Dalad al-Dalad, why would it turn around and quote a second case of Kluta, which it knows is not Dalad al-Dalad? The Gemara just rejected Kluta as not being Dalad al-Dalad, right? So now the Gemara says maybe it's Rebbe.
But I mean, also the Kuta doesn't need Dalad al Dalad Mamish. Doesn't need physical in the Sias Dalad al Dalad. And that would be fine for the Mishnah. This Gemara Maya, and we would reject that. It doesn't really work out. Because Rebbe Akiva does not work for both Akira and Anafa. And we maybe Rebbe Shita. Maybe that's going to work for Akira and Anafa. And that's going to give us the excuse to say that you don't need a physical, practical dalad.
Yeah, but why can't it be alma lo baya kir v'lo hanachal gavi makom dalad al dalad, right? So Gemara says no. According to Rebbe, it is dalad al dalad.
You could, but I'm just wondering why you would want to do that. If it passes the Gemara, it's just being all it needs to do is figure out the Mishnah. There's no vested interest in figuring out the status of dalad al dalad. It just wants to figure out the Mishnah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would read it into the line of a chitema. It seems like it's a separate. It's opposing a separate question.
Where? What?
Hey, Aleph, the chitema. Lo mechayev Rebbe b'shteyachin mekura. I mean, a basic command of Mal Yadami.
So even if that's a separate question, you could say.
So then the chitema is saying, well, you can't inachanami it because then you couldn't explain the Mishnah.
Right. So I'm saying even if you don't, the chitema might be a separate question, but he's saying. And our assumption is the Mishnah just isn't Mikura.
Now, I understand you could read the Gemara that way. The question is whether when the Gemara suggests basic command of Mali Dami, it isn't just saying in Chanami, Rebbe holds of Dalad al Dalad. But then the Gemara says, no, our Mishnah can actually be Rebbe.
I'm agreeing with you that you can read it. I just don't understand why you would want to read it that way.
Mm-hmm. Why you could or why you would want to?
Why you would want to.
Uh-huh.
Why would you go above and beyond just assuming that it's just a basic question about the Mishnah?
Mm-hmm. Why does Rashi have to come on to like Davar Sasa Mikol Tzad and Mali Chafatzim?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
According to you?
He's explaining how Kamali Mali works.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Presumably you'd say if it's Kamali Chafatzim, then it says if you have a Hanochem, you'll gabi Dalad al Dalad.
Okay, you might, and for Rashi, that might incidentally be the point, but it's not necessarily the Shaka Vitaria of the Gemara. And I thought Rebbe was trying to prove that point from the Shaka Vitaria.
Rebbe in the Gemara or Rebbe
in
Shir?
I've been coming to Yisrael Kana now for well over 25 years. Yisrael Kana is the greatest shutta in the Siddhartha. We distribute money on Purim in Eretz Yisrael to over 400 families, needy families, poverty stricken, in the original sense of the word penurious. The money is given there, so you also all after sunrise here, because it's given in the afternoon there. These families are checked out for their needs, as they vary, so the stipend we give them. There's a considerable expense this year in getting the money to them that's borne by us that does not come out from this fund. If you contribute a dollar, the dollar goes to those people in Eretz Israel. Rabbi Shachter calls me up, his time will be Motzai Shabbos, between 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning. Whatever has come into him by then, and whatever has been committed to him by then, will release the funds. I borrowed a large amount of money to raise St. Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael has also borrowed money. And they're just waiting for us to say how much of it to release. So it's a real stock, it's an honest tzedakah. See how much money we need for this. Over 400 families, you give $50, $75, $100, sometimes $150 a family. And involves a large amount of money. You can have a share in this, and it's a big mitzvah. So whatever you can do now, please do. Whatever you can do subsequently, checks can be made out to congregation Torah Tefillah, that's my shul's charity fund. You simply convert it. If you get the money to Rabbi Zablowski or to Rabbi Shachter, ideally to Rabbi Shachter, he'll get it to me, and we'll lay out the funds if it's committed or the money's actually in hand. So I would appreciate whatever you could do now, please do whatever you can do subsequently. How are you?
Good. Good. You always come on a Wednesday.
Pardon?
You always come on a Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday is a long day, but they show me the afternoon. I miss some, and I get others, but I came on another day.
Right. Are they non-session today? That's strange. And we always have Wednesday, we have Chazara.
Pardon?
Wednesday we always have Chazara.
Every
Wednesday. Other than my father's here on during the week. You ever get any more information on Harry Wilson?
I did. What's the name of this fellow who's sort of half retired here?
Yeah, Hyman.
Yeah. We spoke. In some sense, arranged it. After 5 minutes, I saw I'm not going to get anything that I wanted.
From him?
Yeah. Because he told me everything. He said, the article about it, you were hungry. I was interested. I was interested in the psychology of the man.
Right.
And it's like the man who gave up everything in Olam HaBa to get something. He could have had both.
Right.
You know, ask him Lichtenstein. What did Rabbi Shabbat think of him? His voice is a little weak. I asked him twice, and one asked him three times. I didn't.
You didn't get the answer?
He did say something, but he's not so well. He fell again.
You could ask Ray Tursky. I think his father studied with him.
Yeah, he did tell me, but he didn't know as much as his father.
He
told me that his father said he had a hero tshuva toward the end of his life, but didn't follow through. I'm interested in the psychology of the individual.
Right. It's strange because he had some from students.
Yeah, he did. Tursky himself, and Simon. I taught at Stonebrook before moving to Cleveland. And you ever hear of Alfred Kazin? Alfred Kazin is a world famous coach. He died a number of years ago. He said to me, "So you'll be our new Harry Wolfson?"
Yeah,
I wasn't fine. Their new Harry Wolfson.
Right.
Wolfson never got married. He was married to Harvard. He left, tell me there was.
Nafshel Chashak in Harvard.
He once went down the hall, big smile on his face. Who told me this? So they asked him, he didn't smile much. He says, because they're working something in the library, and he found a way to get in a half an hour earlier than usually to the library. He says 6 days a week times a half an hour, 3 hours at the door that he goes to the library. Then we got married. Before he died, he asked his cousin, what's the most significant verse in the Torah? He knew something. So he said, Vahaftarecha kamocha. So he said, no Torah, yosav on the vado. That was his story.
Right.
Never, I don't consider Tommy, he was kamat, not a minion of Jews, that is Levaya. Person who gave up everything in the world of Torah.
Right.
A sad life. I'll be interested in speaking to him and seeing what makes this man tick.
Right. Okay, Scott.
He's where I probably wouldn't want to go. It's going to be for us. I give you a bracha. Always be on the giving side and never have to be on the other side.
Amen. Okay. So now let's work through some of the important issues in Kluta. Okay, so the first question is, how does Kluta compare to a din of Lavud? Oh, did I not answer your question?
I'm using that as
a... Okay, sorry. I think, in Echanam, you can read the Gemara two ways. The question is whether Beis HaKamah HaDamalia isn't trying to accomplish something more than Kluta. You agree it's an open question whether Kluta could be Dalet al Dalet. The Gemara assumes not. Right? It could very well be that when the Gemara says basic command of Malikim, it's Malik HaFatim, and that's going to be a kind of Dalet al Dalet. We know that Lavud is considered Dalet al Dalet. So you have basic command of Malikim in between. So the question is, what's the Gemara injecting here? Yeah. Question? Yeah.
First of all, why are we assuming that Kluta and command of Malikim are the same? But I mean, Yerushalmi does have a separate.
Right, in this Gemara, you especially if you say one's Dalet al Dalet, you're assuming they're not.
Yeah.
Tosus has the question: if you assume the Gemara in Gittin is a Liba de Rebbe,
right.
Then it seems like you are assuming that Kluta is the same as Beis HaKamah HaDamalia.
Or we just call them by the same name. In other words, what's more important, who's saying it or what do you call it? If you say who's saying it's more important, then stuff works.
Right, but you might just assume that Beis HaKamah HaDamalia Dami is a kind of a Kluta.
Could. I'm saying Yerushalmi does have Rebbe Akiva.
Alright.
It's much less clear than
the
Rechitza. Not clear.
I'm saying that seems to be against the general grain of the Bavli. If you assume the basic command of Mali Dami is Dalet al Dalet.
The other question is. I'll wait for this.
Okay. So when it comes to the question of Lavud versus Kluta, so Tosfos on Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph says that. You'll say Eged, according to the second day in Tosfos, you'll say Eged Yad Shmei Eged Levatel Kluta. You won't be able to say Eged Yad Shmei Eged Levatel Lavud. Right, so clearly Tosfos thinks that the din of Kluta is weaker than the din of Lavud, such that it can't be ruined by a din of Eged Yad Shmei Eged. The Ritto, which you saw earlier in the year in Daf Gimel, clearly assumes that Eged Yad Shmei Eged has the power to even undermine a din such as Lavud. What? Which part? The Ritva and Daf Gimel. Yeah. The Ritva gave the Nafkamina between Rashi and Tosas. Rashi said Yadalo Naich. Tosas said it's a din Yadabas or Gufu Garir. The Ritva said the Nafkamina of Yadal Gabi Karka. According to Rashi, it's Nach. According to Tosfos, it's Yad HaBasar Guf HaGarir. So it's not considered to be in the other Rishos. See, clearly he thinks he could undermine the din of Lavud. According to Tosfos on Tzadi Beis, Yad HaBasar Guf second day, Yad HaBasar Guf HaGarir could only undermine the din of Kluta, not the din of Lavud.
Is it clear that Eged Yad and Basar Guf HaGarir are the same thing?
The Rashba definitely assumes that on Daf Gimel. The Ritva is not 100% clear. I think the Ritva on Daf Tzadi Beis does talk about Yad HaBasar Guf HaGarir in terms of Eged Yad Shmei Eged. Alright? You might distinguish also between Kluta, the Hanacha that's accomplished by a Kluta, and a physical Hanacha al Gabe Mashu. So here, Tosfos on Daf Daladim and Beis suggests that even though the Gemara wants to be mechalek between Akira and Hanacha with respect to Kluta, the Gemara says, Dilma Hanacha hudlo bayi ho Akira bayi. So within Kluta you distinguish between two different kinds of Dalet al Dalet. When it comes to the Hanacha of Al Gabe Mashahu, so then there's no Svara to be mechalek between them. Okay, so the Gemara seems to be assuming that the actual kind of Hanacha that you have from Kluta is going to be distinct from even the most minute Hanacha of Al-Gabi Akolshu. Tosasan, Daf Dalet Amid Aleph, suggests that you won't say Kluta anytime the Chefetz is considered B'yado Shel Adam. Yad, for some reason, interposes between the actual Chefetz and the Rishus, such that you can no longer view the Chefetz as being Niklat in this area. The Chefetz is defined as in being in Yado Shel Adam, not as being within the Rishos. So the way we suggest is that Tosos clearly assumes that the Hagdara of Kluta is not as a Hanacha per se, because there's no reason why Yad should ruin the Shem Hanacha of the Chefetz, but Yad ruins the Hagdara of the Chefetz as belonging properly in the Rishos of the Kluta. Tosos on Sadi Beis Amid Aleph clearly disagrees with Tosos on Daf Dalet, as pointed out by Rabbi Kiva Eger. Tosfos there assumes that even though the Chefetz is in his hand, you're still going to say Kluta Kamisha Honchadamya. As is evident from their question that according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds Kluta, how come you're not Chayiv the moment you're Pasha Yadcha into Rosh Hashacher? So you have 2 days in Tosfos about whether or not Yad is going to be a problem. The Tosfos Chadashim in the Mishnayos in Para, in Perek Yud Mishnah Hey, point out that the assumption of the Mishnah there is against Tosfos on Daf Dalet. Because the Mishnah there assumes that if it's B'yado Shel Adam, if the log of the Yimei Chatas is the B'yado Shel Adam, you will say Kluta Kamisha Honchadamya. And if anything, when the Hazah is in the air, that's the only case you're not going to say Kluta. It's the exact opposite of Tosfos on Daf Dalet Amid Aleph. The Rishonim are very bothered by the question from Ben Azai. How would you ever be Chayiv for Hotzas, for Zrikas Dalet Amos, for Shisar Abim, if you say Kluta Kamisha Honchadamya? Why isn't it going to be Nach all the way throughout the process? So here it's very fascinating to see what distinctions the Rishonim raise. So the Ramban suggests that you only say Kluta Kamisha Hunchadamya when you're transferring between two Rishuyos, when you have a Mechitza interposing in between. So why would you say that? So here it seems that the Hagdara of Kluta is as a kind of, not that you have a Hanacha or you have a Akira, but the Hagdara of Kluta is that you define it as being in the Rishus. So Kolzman, the Chefetz is moving within one Rishus. It's not sensible to say that there was a Kluta at one point and a Kluta at another point, because you never had any change. But when you're moving between one Mechitza to another, between a Mechitza, so then it makes sense to say that now that the Chefetz was Niklat here, and now it's Niklat in this new Rishus. So if you take the Ramban very literally, so the Ramban is not being mechalik between two Rishuyos, but the Ramban is actually distinguishing between a Havara Samechitza. Okay, now you may say, you'll have an Afkamina in a case, now every Chilof Rishuyos by definition will have a Chilof Mechitza. Right? To be Chayiv. Unless it's traveling over, let's say, a third wall of a Rishus, which doesn't have Mechitza. But any chilaf rishuyos between Rosh Hashanah Yachid and Rosh Hashanah Rabim will have a chilaf mechitzos, by definition. So it's not impossible to read the Ramban as actually talking about mechitza, not just as referring to what the Ritva and the Rashba take as being Beis Rishuyos. You'll ask about, let's say, one side is open. So you could say that al pidin is considered a chilaf mechitzos also. At one moment it was in a mechitza, at one moment it's not in a mechitza. I feel like there's a lot of resistance to the notion that the Ramban could be talking about actual mechitzos.
I'd be like Yerushalmi.
Don't
know. He's trying to anticipate the question from Dalet Amos, which is Rabin, that Dalet Amos, according to him, is also a Chilof Rishuyos.
Yeah, might say that also. If you want to really view it as Beis Rishuyos, then it's better to shift it to mechitzos. Yeah. Why like the Yerushalmi? Not necessarily, because the Yerushalmi is saying that in order for it to be Niklat, it has to be inside Mechitzos. Right? That's the Yerushalmi, and that's a Rebbe's holding. The Ramban is saying in order to be a significant chiluf, it has to pass over a makom mechitza. The nafka mina is, let's say you're throwing from Rosh Hashanah Yachid into Rosh Hashanah Rabim. It's not niklat in a mechitza, but it had a chiluf mechitza. Sure? No?
How are you interpreting the lashon of kaltua mechitzas?
Kaltua mechitzas?
The lashon itself sounds a lot like you're telling
me. Right.
You're trying to say not that.
Kaltua mechitzas, not that it's grabbed inside the mechitzas, but the mechitza is what marks the significant chiluf. Transitioning from in a mechitza to out of mechitza.
Still not the mechitza is doing the.
Correct. It's not the mechitza. Right.
The lashon still doesn't work out very well.
Why?
Kaltua sounds like...
No, but kaltua mechitzos means that it was in a mechitza, and now it's not. That's a significant change. Right? The other Rishonim are saying...
Kaltua mechitzos is not referring to the kluta of kluta kamishonach. Kaltua mechitzos is referring to what it started as, and then later there's
right.
Different...
Right. There was a change in its status of kaltua mechitzos. At the point of either the hanacha or the akira, it was niklap in mechitzos, and now it's not.
But I thought it would be really confusing and saying that
well, if the Ramban didn't want to be confusing, he wouldn't have said kaltua mechitzas. Right? Well, because then that would only refer to a case of your zorik into Rosh Hashanah Yachid. No? The mechitza grabs it, because now it's niklat in the mechitza. That's the way Rebbe wants to take the case, right? What? As you can't take the Ramban Kipshuto, as you're saying.
Correct.
It would limit it to one case.
Correct.
Right?
I'm not sure if this is that much more appealing than just ignoring the phrase entirely.
Why? It makes so much sense. Why? Are you serious?
What? I'm not sure. I mean, you let the Mechitza play in, but you still have to stretch what the Lashon means.
I mean, it might have an important nafkamina, though, about Zrika from a Carmelis into a Shisarabim. I mean, that might not be a problem at all, because there might not be a din mechitza b'chlal, according to Ramban. And you have nafkamina of Doron.
Yeah, so you throw
down. Okay, that would be the Ramban. Tosas Yishanim and one day in the Ramban suggests that you be mechalik between kluta l'chumra and kluta l'kula. What's the basis to distinguish between kluta l'chumra and kluta l'kula and l'chumra? So here we suggest the three mahalchim. One of them is to say like the Tosas Chaim, that the action of kluta itself is composed of the chefetz being moving and being nach at the very same time. Right? So every kluta is a frozen frame. So now the shaila is, what do you care about? So if you want to know whether or not the chefetz is stationary, the answer is no, it's not stationary because it's still moving. But put differently, if you want to know whether the chefetz is not moving, the answer is that it is moving. It's not moving. Okay? That's the answer. If you want to know whether or not the chefetz is nach, then the answer is yes. It is nach. So now, with respect to being chayiv for a hanacha, so all you need is for the chefetz to be nach, and here it is nach, according to one frame. If you need a hanacha to pater, to be oker and akira, and say that the chefetz is no longer in that initial state of motion, then you need the chefetz to be not moving. And in the case of kluta, it is moving. So memela, you'll only say kluta k'misha huncha damya l'chiyuv and not l'ptur. Because l'ptur, it's not sufficient to say that it's nach, it has to be not moving. And in every case of kluta, it is. In order to be chayiv, all you need is a hanacha. Hanacha per se is not a stira to motion. That would be the simple suggestion for the Tosa Aschai. Okay. Any objections?
Simple suggestion.
I mean, it is simple.
Which part of this was the Tosa Aschai, including the not moving thing, or did he just say the chevet is moving enough at every moment?
We're explaining the rationale. We're explaining the rationale why one would apply and not the other.
Okay, but we're still throwing that under the Tosa Aschai.
Yeah.
It's not like that.
That's the explanation for that svara. Okay, now you could be mechalek between anachal lechiv and anachal leptur in a different way, and say simply that it's easier halachically, to simply finish the act of hotza than to undercut the Maisa Akira. So I heard a whisper from the middle of the room saying it's the same thing. but it's different.
We don't claim to call this because it's fine. We're just aware.
Right. No, but it's different because it does away with the metaphysic of it moving and not moving. Okay? Which is actually a significant difference.
Right. So it is the same thing.
It's never a real thing. It's meant it is very much stuff. Care about different aspects.
No, it means that the kluta always has a din of moving and not moving. Okay?
Don't we just mean
that? Kluta has a din of moving and not moving. Now the shaila is, do you care about it not moving, or do you care about it being nach?
But it's not that it's cool, it's one unified whole of something.
No, that's the point. The point is that it's you could distinguish between those two components. That's the assumption of the Totsa Aschaim. Now we're making a different suggestion. Now it does touch upon it. But we're making a different suggestion that it's simply easier to be the makle patish of a maisa hotza than it is to undermine the maisa akira. Now you could phrase that in one of two ways, if you want to see a difference in this on totza aschaim. You could phrase that as being a din in chiyuv, if you hold that the akira, and this is how we present it in shir, if you hold that the akira is the mechayiv, so now the momentum of chiyuv is there. If you want to undermine the momentum of chiyuv, so you need a real bona fide hanacha. And that you don't have in kluta. If you want to know whether or not you could be a makabe patish of the momentum that's already there and simply say that it's finished, this qualifies for hanacha and you're good. Now how you could confuse that with the Totsa Aschaim, I don't know. Right? But the Totsa Aschaim is simply talking about the nature of an Akira versus the nature of the Hanacha. This is talking about the momentum of the Chiyuv that exists, and therefore you need something strong to undermine it. Totsa Aschaim is abstaining from saying that the Akira itself is the Mechayiv. The Pshat we're suggesting in Shir is saying that the Akira is the Mechayiv, therefore to undercut it you need something strong. You need a pot to yourself from a chiyuv. To just finish the momentum, to just finish the maisa, then you need something very little. I'm sensing some motion from that corner of the room.
No, it's motion and non-motion.
Yeah.
Before it's a little share. Before it's a little share to say, it just doesn't make much sense to me to say that we're creating the Tosfos Yishanim with being originally a Akira making a Nacha. Because there are cases...
That you're equating a Tosfos Yishanim with?
We're equating Bekula and Lechomra with uprooting the original and making a new Akira. Because there are going to be times when you can have Bekula, and it's pretty clear that all you need is an act of Akira, not uprooting the original Akira. You need an Hanacha, not just uprooting the original Akira. Like the Tosfos in the Moshi, in the Zorak Moshi. He's saying that if we have...
Which indeed is where he's being masig.
What?
Which is the Tosfos which he's being masig on.
Right, okay, I didn't remember that point. But, so that makes it better. Meaning, you're going over Malkum Ptor, and Tosfos is timing that if you're going to have Anacha and not Malkum Ptor, right, then there's going to be like a drunky Moshi. It's not going to go straight from the Roshut over there, the Roshut over there.
I can see why this is a very confusing question for you.
I'm just not using my words correctly. But the point is the horror for Tosfos. The point is that because you have an active Hanacha on the Mokum Tor, it's not straight going from the first Roshut to the third Roshut. It's stopping in the Mokum Tor in between.
Right.
So Lechora, you don't need to uproot the original Akira. All you need is an active Hanacha on the Mokum Tor, and then it gets all drunk. So,
well, let me ask you this question.
Therefore, you have
how does the Hanacha and a Makom Ptur exempt you from an Akira?
Exempt you from an Akira? Just because it's not Moshi. Moshi is one smooth action straight from Rishus A to Rishus C. And now this is going Rishus A to Rishus B to Rishus C. So for it would suffice to just say...
Oh, that's how you want to read it? Not that it's considered it's Nach inside the Makom Ptur?
Yeah.
And you have an Akira from a Makom Ptur?
Yeah.
Is that clear in Tosfos?
it's very logical to say that. I mean, I'm not sure why you would say that. In order to construct Tosfos' case, you need an uprooting of the original akira.
It's just saying that you have a hanacha inside a makom p'tur.
So therefore, it's l'kula. And l'kula, in this case,
but is it is the p'tur according to you based off a hanacha or not?
Yes, but not. But it's not. It's l'kula, and it's hanacha, not an uprooting of the original akira. But I thought our whole distinction was saying that when he's saying you're only going to say l'kula, not l'kula, he's saying you're only going to do, you're only going to say it to have a hanacha, not to say that you're going to uproot the original akira. That's what we want to say.
No,
that's not what we're saying.
That we're assuming that a hanacha and a makom p'tur works to undermine the initial akira.
That's what you're saying. That's what Tosfos is saying.
Yeah.
Why are you assuming that?
Because that's what it means that it stops in a makom p'tur. It means the first action has been cut off. The way an akira is cut off is via hanacha. Now that hanacha has a different halachic mechanism than the hanacha of finishing the action of a hotzah shachiv. Now you invented this new category that's not an akira, it's not a hanacha, it's just called a halachic pit stop.
Oh, she's going to need a hanacha. I'm assuming that if you have a hanacha here, so you have a pit stop, it's the difference between you have an original akira, and then a hanacha, and then an akira, and then a later hanacha, versus saying that you have a hanacha that just says there's no akira.
Right. But I don't think you have to see if we find that anywhere else. I mean, yeah, you might want to invoke models of Ben Azai or something like that, but that's not. I don't think that's the simple read of Tosfos or Tosfos Yeshanim. The reason why it splits up the Maisa Moshe is because you have a hanacha, and that hanacha works to stop the initial Maisa Hotza. All right, that's what I think.
That was just brought as an example. I mean, the very point that he's saying we're cool in the Chumrah, and we're translating that into meaning more than that, into meaning uprooting versus an act just a finishing hanacha. Just even if that case doesn't work out, I mean, Lahore, there's going to be some case. And if there's not, why didn't you just say that point and not just say, why do you have to say we're cool in the Chumrah?
Well, he's just trying to give you a chiluk for the case at hand. So I mean, Bishonim never fully explicate what they're trying to say.
Okay.
Right. So, what is the basis for a distinction between akira and hanacha without being arbitrary? But what's the basis for a distinction between lechiv and leftur without being arbitrary? So you'd like the totzos chaim, or like the suggestion we just made, you'd like the totzos chaim?
In the totzos chaim, you would not.
Yeah, that's the whole point. The point is that a hanacha liftur is harder because there you need it to be not moving. A hanacha shachiv is sufficient to say that it's nach. Nach is not a stira to being not moving. Sorry, nach is not a stira to it moving. Is that clear?
Okay.
So the second approach that we're suggesting is to say that it's simply harder to undercut a Maisa Akira. The third approach that we're suggesting is that the halacha itself is machshiv in Akira Shachiv. Because an Akira Shachiv now registers as a kind of an obligation. You're chayiv mishum Shabbos. So that's considered a chashiva Maisa now. A hanacha liftur doesn't register halachically as significant. Therefore, it won't work to undercut the initial Maisa Akira.
God, like, registers that hanacha happened. Like, I don't understand that. Like, the whole, like, halachic Richter scale that he's talking about.
The halachic Richter scale. The halachic Richter scale is actually very simple. Just like the Ramban said that migu, that this is considered a malacha, so it's considered a maisa hotza, with respect to achshuv dalet al dalet. Means that certain things are recognized halachically, and since they're recognized halachically, that carries over into another area as well. Right? You find this with respect to Trefus also, by Gira Nasha. Migu, that this does not have a Shem Maichel Inyan X, it also doesn't have a Shem Maichel Inyan Y. Okay? You find it within the Hagdar of Mammon. So we're saying over here also, that since an Akira Liftur doesn't register halachically, because it's not a Chalos, it's the absence of a Chalos Chiyuv. Right? Is that good? But a chiyuv now registers as a significant halachic action. So since it registers as a significant halachic action, so now it's going to be considered a hanacha l'inyan Shabbos.
But how can you define the action as hanacha l'chiyav or hanacha l'ptor? It's the same action. Why is the halod become part of the action?
One more time.
You're saying that hanacha l'ptor, the action of hanacha l'ptor is not a significant halachic action.
Right.
But it's not a hanacha l'ptor, it's a hanacha. Why is the hello define the action for that?
It's not that the chalos defines the action. It's that, well, you might say it is in a certain sense. Are you okay with the Ramban's idea of chilaf reshuyos? Are you okay with that? That kluta kamisha hun chadamia only registers when significant chilaf reshuyos?
That could just be a pizza or anything like that.
But are you okay with that distinction? Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a kind of Richter scale also. Because we're saying that it's not that Kluta makes it Kilu, it's Nach and Oker at Kol at every stage along the way. What it means is that when there's a significant change, so then it registers as a Kluta. Correct? That's a halachic Richter scale also, but gauged not by Chiv, but gauged by Rishuyos. So now we're asking the parallel to that question in a case where this would trigger a Chiv.
Not the same as the Ramban's case, because in Ramban's case, the chilaf reshuyot is itself something that happens. Like,
but why isn't the reality that if this is nach, it will be considered a chiyuv Shabbos? Why isn't that also significant? So just like the reshus has the ability to turn this into a ma'isa kluta, so the potential for a chiyuv also does.
Why are those necessarily the same?
It's not necessarily the same. You're asking how does this picture of the Richter scale make sense? You're asking, you want to acknowledge it with respect to chilaf reshuyos. So just like reshuyos are halakhically significant, chiyuv and ptur are halakhically significant.
Chilaf reshuyot is a physical event.
But it's not really. I mean, I'm glad that it's nice that you think that. But I'm saying, but the halakhic distinction between a reshus ha-yocher and a reshus ha-rabim is equally halakhic as the definition of a akira shel chiyuv and hanacha shel chiyuv. Right? Yeah.
The Kark is confused about something similar to actually the Gemara Menasa has the same distinction. It's like you have Makom Chiyuv L'chulei Alma, Makom Ptur L'chulei Alma. Otherwise, we're having our own scale for every person. That's different than having something that halachically, objectively.
It's not your own scale for every person. It's your own scale per every Maisa Hotzah. Would this Hanacha be a Hanacha Shel Chiyuv?
Right.
Or would it be Shel Ptur?
Right. So my point is that it's similar to the Gemara that asked about Ben Azai, that we can't say these cases are similar, because in one case we have someone with an objective reshut b'chulei alma, in one case it's only makom chiyu for him.
Nah.
So, Karp's asking a similar question. Once we say l'chulei alma, this is X, that's fine. But if we say that for each individual action we rejudge...
Why isn't this l'chulei alma ma'isa chiyuv shel Shabbos?
What?
Why isn't this l'chulei alma ma'isa chiyuv shel Shabbos?
Because it's not a mas...
In Akira, in a Hanacha, in a makom ptur... Is a ma'isa ptur shel Shabbos?
It's also a ma'isa supposed to a chefza. One is a chefza shel reshut. One is a ma'isa. You can't necessarily always say the same thing. But
why are you okay with recognizing cheftzas and not okay with recognizing ma'isas?
Well, because we have lots, like you were saying, we have lots of other cases that recognize cheftzas throughout halacha using this type of logic of does it register for this? And I don't know. Do we have similar cases that you have?
The Ramban's migud to have a malacha lekach, have a malacha l'inyan hotzah. That's not talking about a ma'isa?
No, but that's the opposite in some way, because he's saying that things that weren't malacha and hilchot Shabbos are still malacha and hilchot.
No, the Ramban's saying that something that's defined as a significant action will be recognized le'inyan Shabbos as a significant action also.
That might be different.
Okay. Good. So let's turn to another nafkamina. The nafkamina between mechalek between a makom ptur and a non-makom ptur. So this is plainly obvious. That if the idea of kluta is that it's considered to be caught and defined as being inside the reshus, then something that doesn't have the full hagdar of a reshus doesn't have the ability to be kolei. So a makom ptur, which doesn't have the ability to define things as being caught in its area, so the makom ptur can't generate a din of kluta kamisha hun chadamya. So this we suggested as possibly one reading of the Ramban. The Ramban talks about why it's not nach in the makom p'tur l'mala me'asara. That his distinction is based off it just simply being a makom p'tur. The other way of reading the Ramban is that it's not a function of the makom p'tur itself, but how the l'mala me'asara is unable to interact with the karka of the Rishus HaRabim, espalig Rishusa. So the only way to say kluta is to say that it's niklat on the karka. Since a makom p'tur halachically is defined as a different rishus from the karka, so you can't say kluta ba'avir is considered a nacha b'karka. Has to do with the dissonance between the area above and the area below, as defined by their status le'inan hilchos Shabbos. The Tosfos Yontif in Mishnayos Parah and Perek Yud poses the question, would you say the same thing about kluta l'mala me'asara for below asara, that zrika ba'avir l'mala me'asara is considered nach b'karka, shelo b'hilchos Shabbos, where the distinction between makom p'tur and rishus rabim is not so important? Would you say the same thing? Does it have to do with the physical space in between the kluta, or does it have to do with the halachic discrepancy between the area defined above and the area defined below? Yeah.
So a pure makom p'tur that has karka also, meaning a place that.
That'd be nafkamina between 2 days in the Ramban.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, and then also, is it when he says that l'mala miyud can't interact with the karka, is that because, let's say you were to say that above ten, it's not that it's a makom p'tur b'fatzma, it's that a rishus rabim sheyesh la p'tur. Can you, is that a possibility?
One more time.
L'mala miyud b'rishus rabim, it's not a makom p'tur like a standard makom p'tur is. L'mala miyud b'rishus rabim is rishus rabim sheyesh la p'tur.
Right.
So would you then be able to say that?
Are you still invoking the makom p'tur rationale?
I mean, I'm invoking the aspect that it is a makom p'tur, but it's a rishus rabim also at the same time.
Well, no. If you mean it in the sense that something that's in a makom p'tur can't be considered to be nach in a rishus rabim, then yes. If you mean it in the sense that something in one area can't be considered to be nach in another area, then yes. But no, because those are the two options we just gave. Right?
Yeah.
And the nafkamina is the Tosfos Yom Tov. In Para. Why is it a nafkamina? Because outside of Hilchos Shabbos, so l'mala me'asara is not considered a different rishus from l'mata me'asara. What's the nafkamina? Kluta only applies to Hilchos Shabbos. Seriously, what's the nafkamina? Where do you ever find that? No, but Kluta, the only reason you find a discrepancy of Kluta and Hilchos Shabbos is because Shabbos recognizes them at different Rishuyos. Where do you find in Kol Tar Kula a difference in the Ma'ala Me'asara and the Mata Me'asara and Rishus
HaRabim? I mean, the fact that Shabbos recognizes different Rishuyos means that like Ma'ala Me'asara is not a
Rishus HaRabim. Tosfos Yom
Tov
is talking about in Rishus
HaYafet. No. Tosfos Yom Tov says maybe you'd have to make a new Kimta then, if you hold to the Ramban as being relevant in Kol Tar Kula, that case in Parah is only talked, that Mishnayos in Parah is only in the case of Rishus HaYachid.
Really?
Yeah. did you read it just now?
Yeah.
Well, you only read the second half? His suggestion is, if that's true, then you'd have to say that these Mishnayos are only in Rishus HaYachid, and that's inconceivable.
And why can't you just say that see from Shabbos that Ma'al Ma'asar is like...
And if they were just in Rishus HaYachid, why didn't the Tanayim just write that it's a Rishus HaYachid? Instead of leaving us to have to figure that out. Right, Ellie?
What? Why can't you just say that we see from Shabbos that Ma'al Me'asar is less defined Rishus?
Right, so the Shaila is that a din in Rishus of Shabbos? Or is that indicative of something broader?
Okay. But once you have that...
That's exactly what Tosfos Yontif is Mesupak about.
But
do you say that Tosfos Yontif is Mesupak about?
Okay, you're saying that it's not mean of whether it's a din in Rishus or a din in being a Balag Mekarka.
Right.
So I'm saying you could just say it's within Rishus. And then the question is, well, do we apply from Shabbos to outside of Shabbos? Right. Forgetting about Balag Mekarka.
But what's the din of Rishuyos Lainian and Shabbos? Shulain and Shabbos. I mean, you want to say that Suffolk Tumah versus Arabim? Suffolk Tumah versus Arabim Tara doesn't apply L'mala Me'asara? Yeah, but that's just assuming the question. I mean, that's just assuming that the din of Hilchos Shabbos applies outside.
Okay. Or, but, I mean,
but it's still a din in Rishuyos then.
You could say that Kut is not really a din in Shabbos, it's a din in being grabbed by the Shabbos. That happens to have a nafkamina for Shabbos, but it'll also have a nafkamina for Tumah. So the fact that we have other nafkaminas over Shazarab for Shabbos and Mamma Tur doesn't necessarily change that.
That what?
Makom Tur just can't provide a hanacha of kluta.
Right. But we're not saying that it's in Makom Tur. That's our other answer. We're saying something that's unique to Hispalag Roshusa of Rosh Hashanah and Lamala
Me'asara. Right, that would not be limited to Shabbos.
That may be limited to Shabbos if you think it has to do with them, if with them being defined as two distinct halachic areas.
Okay. I mean, both of them could be limited to Shabbos and both of them could not be limited to Shabbos.
No.
Which one has to be limited to Shabbos?
If you think it's a function of being two different Roshuyos, then it'll be limited to Shabbos. Unless you say that there are some Roshios that extend outside and then have the same din.
Right, so it doesn't have to be limited to Shabbos.
Alright, if you wanna break it down that way, it's the same thing. Same thing to my mind. Okay. A final nafkamina here, very important one, would be whether the kluta, the definition of the maisa kluta itself, is contingent somewhat on your kavana. So if you noticed already, the Meiri in our sugya on Daf Dalid throws in one word. You see it, Doron?
Miri. Yeah.
Miri throws in one word in Tarsugya, and he says the reason why Kuta's lav kamisha huncha damya is because he wasn't mechavim lekach. What?
Gillian on the side.
Yeah, Gillian's pointed out. Yeah, very good. Right, so you see that. It's true.
Yeah, I've seen it.
In the Chanami. So he throws in kavana into the definition of Kuta kamisha huncha damya. Seemingly, the question of kluta is not an objective question. Kluta will be contingent on your das. So you have a very similar idea in Tosfos Erev on Tzadi Ches Mabez. Tosfos there suggests that if you have no kavana at all, you won't say kluta kamisha huncha damya. That's why the Sefer Torah there is not considered kluta niklat ba'avir. And similarly, the Rashba on Tzadi Ches, although I can't say I understood the Rashba entirely, unless I'm missing something, the Rashba on Tzadi Ches Mabez suggests that part of our ability to say kluta kamisha huncha damya would be contingent on your wanting it to be nach. Kol makom shetirtza tanuach. Now, I don't know, the way I understand, I could be wrong, the way I understood the Rashba is that seems to be a din of lechus machshavas. Were we suggesting that that's a din in the maisa kluta?
No, I think he mentioned this in lechus
machshavas. What?
I think Rabbi mentioned this.
Oh, so that's a din of lechus machshavas, so it could be like the ritva miksaviyad in Gittin Ayin Tes. That's the idea. Okay, good. So you have eight important considerations when it comes to Kluta Kamisha Huncha Damya. Number one was the relationship between Ege Yad Shmei Eged for Kluta versus Lavud. Number two is the relationship between Kluta and Hanacha Gabe Mashahu, where halachically we seem to treat it differently. Number three is that Yad, according to one day in Tosfos on Daf Dalet, seems to be a problem for Kluta, even though Yad would not be a problem in general. 2 days in Tosfos, Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph, as Riki Veger points out. You have a fourth nafkamina. Maybe kluta only applies to achila for shuyos. A fifth suggestion that maybe kluta only applies lechumra and not lekula, with three interpretations of why that would be. You have a sixth nafkamina that kluta would only apply in something that's defined halachically as a reshus, not in something that has the hagdar of a makom patur. Seventh nafkamina that it might be a function, kluta will not apply in a spalig reshusa. Because you have to view the kluta as being somewhat kimunach agave karka, if it's a spalig reshusa, you won't be able to say it. And number eight, that in contrast to a regular maisa hutza, which seems to be defined objectively, kluta kamisha huncha damya needs a kind of kavana to apply it as a chiyuv. Okay, so we'll stop here. And this next time, we'll just begin with Ben Azai's Halachot Beit Damim.